Welcome to the show. This time, I'm looking at storytelling. As a species, we've evolved by learning. Some of this learning has come from sharing our imaginative thoughts with each other. Before humans could form the words that have evolved into present-day language, we relied on grunts and body language. There's also evidence of drawings inside caves where prehistoric man drew shapes that we've interpreted as stories. Maybe they were recording when they captured a beast, fed themselves, and created hierarchy within their groups. Of course, a lot of this is down to modern-day interpretation, but the stories remain. Much later in evolution, people would sit around campfires telling stories, the themes of which would be closely related to their surroundings. Perhaps it was night time and the fire was their only source of light and heat, thus the flames might cast eerie shadows and reflections on each other, making the stories adopt an eerie atmosphere or mood. Telling campfire stories is a much-loved favourite of scouts and guides or families on camping trips. It's also a known useful activity for employee bonding sessions. Plus, faith has brought us stories that are told seasonally. Each Halloween, we find ourselves seeking out scary stories to frighten each other, and nearer Christmas, we're interested in that all-important traditional Christmas ghost story. Hearing stories being read brings a very different feel to the experience, and a lot of this is down to two things: the story's theme and the person narrating it. Accents also play an important role in the experience. I've talked about accents in previous Writer's Block radio shows and the Versatile Writer podcast, which you can find online. Hearing a voice give feeling and expression to a story is often much easier for the listener to absorb and understand. For instance, when I studied Shakespeare for uni, I had a really hard time learning it. For me, reading the play from a book was like wading through treacle. My mind would wander, and when I did get my attention back, I had a tough time focusing on how the words were delivered and what the conversation was about. However, when I heard them performed via audio sound bites, not only was it easier to understand the stories through the actor's delivery, it was more entertaining too. I even appreciated some of the jokes and comedy in it. Jokes I hadn't even realised existed when I read the plays from the books myself. Thus, when something becomes entertaining, it's easier to process. When we write stories, we mostly create a beginning, a middle, and an end. But in the early 1900s to 1950s, we had the literary movement of modernism. Writers like Virginia Woolf, Ford Madox Ford, Jean Rhys and others wrote short stories that were mostly streams of consciousness rather than fully laid out stories with starts, middles and ends. They also often ended without being completed, and a lot of this was intended to be reliant upon the reader's interpretation, so the reader played a very big part in some of those books from the modernist period. Nowadays, however, mainstream readers often enjoy reading as a form of escapism or entertainment. They're likely to want the completed story written for them, with the possibility of a sequel or trilogy or a prequel. Themes often vary widely, and many include twists that are intended to astound, puzzles for the reader to solve, and stories and characters that will evoke certain and specific feelings in readers. Genres are often important for the reader to identify and recognise, so they know what book they've chosen and how they'll spend their time investing it. Some genres are clear-cut and others blend. All this goes towards creating an interesting, entertaining and potentially educational read. Modern-day storytelling includes formal and informal ways to relay the juiciest of images. A stereotypical way of sharing these tidbits of information used to be over the garden fence with your neighbour. Gossip was, and is, still a huge way to tell stories to each other. While years ago it might have been over that garden fence, nowadays more modern ways to share gossip is via social media. Not a day goes by when I don't read on Twitter or Facebook that this person said this about that person, or she's doing this to her, or he's doing that to him. It's a minefield for gossip getting out of hand, yet it is also still an important and exciting way for communities to connect. The thing is, stories don't just stop at juicy gossip. They can progress to politicians spinning their own story to garner popularity, resulting in eventual power. Stories are everywhere. It's just how we interpret them that makes them truth or fiction. But that's mostly about reading and listening to stories. But what about watching them? There are few of us who don't watch TV or movies. The stories we're fed each day on our soaps or dramas often reflect themes within our daily lives. This is so we relate to them, hopefully like them, and continue to watch them. This pushes ratings up, secures funds for further seasons while keeping half the people entertained and the other half employed. Recently, I've been revisiting my love of watching the series Firefly, created by Joss Whedon. For those who don't know, it was released in 2002, which actually feels like an eternity ago. It lasted just a single season, more on the reason why later, and was an oxymoron of genres, combining the futuristic genre of science fiction, it was set in 2517, with the historical genre of Western. Thus, a sci-fi Western was born. This kind of opposites blending excites me. Now, I'm a massive fan, so my thoughts here are likely to be incredibly biased in favour of the show and its creator. However, my interpretation of the reasons behind its demise after just 14 episodes was that Joss Whedon was asked to provide Fox with a show and was given a ridiculous amount of time to do that, a weekend or something similar. However, he did it. Despite how popular it was, Fox had no intention of continuing it, so cancelled it. There was an outcry from fans, but it was absolutely no use. That was 18 years ago, and still, fans have not got over it, me included. However, that's a whole other theme for a whole other podcast, of which there are undoubtedly many on this particular show. The actual story, however, is about two ex-soldiers, Malcolm Reynolds and Zoe. After being on the losing side in the Battle of Serenity against the Alliance, Mal buys himself a spaceship and hires Zoe as his second in command. They move around space, taking on jobs in order to keep the ship running and keep in space. On their travels, they meet various people who eventually become crew and provide specific skills to keep the ship flying. A pilot named Wash, an engineer named Kaylee, and a fighter named Jane. Further characters are brought in. A registered companion named Inara, whose inclusion on the crew was to open doors that might otherwise be closed to Mal's business ventures, a preacher named Book, and a brother and sister, Simon and River Tam. Simon is a gifted doctor. Essentially, as far as skills go, the crew has everything it needs and enough conflict between each other and against the Alliance to keep 14 episodes going. That's their story, and I miss the potential it would have brought, as well as the adventure, the comedy, and the depth of characters was so interesting. However, that, as they say, is another story. Finally, let's talk about writing stories. When I get an idea for a story, I'm never sure straight away if it will be a short story, a long story, a novella, or a novel. I often get ideas for a story from hearing a few words, possibly part of an expression or a headline. Other times it might be something that pops up from my subconscious that I hadn't even realised I'd been thinking about. Even my dreams have been incorporated into my writing. My first three novels were all written upon a dream I had, a few words spoken by a TV actor, and an overheard conversation on a shopping trip. Turning those into fleshed out stories, novels, was tricky at the time, as I was going with my natural writing instincts. Nowadays, with experience and study on my side, I now know a lot more about the process and certainly more about how to tell the stories to a modern day audience. Storytelling is a fundamental part of human life. It enriches our lives, our minds, and creates worlds that we believe exist, characters we fall in love with, and stories that change lives. Here's to more happy, exciting, thrilling, and adventurous storytelling.